You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Starting a series today, Your Kingdom Come. Actually, it's very much in line, as it happens, with the conference coming from the G12 conference. That's the same title. And we're going to be looking at this subject over the next few weeks, a couple of months or so. In fact, I was really disappointed, actually, that we didn't have Gerald's talk recorded the other day. And I thought it was very, very good from Job. But I was reading his book, which he was flagging afterwards, and it's a good read, actually. Particularly if you're a bit older, you'll recognise names and places which he records and talks about. But he was, in the book, it was talking about the excitement of the kingdom of God. And in those early days, 60s, 70s, and how this fresh revelation was coming. And I was so grabbed by this as I was reading it on holiday around the swimming pool, which is all rather nice. I said, Gerald, would you like to come back and just do a Sunday on the kingdom? So he's going to come back and join us as well. And as we look at this amazing theme. Okay, I've not got my watch up here, so I need a little flag to say you've done enough. But we have plenty of time. We've got a few weeks to go, so I don't need to squeeze everything in one day. So the kingdom of God. It's one of the main themes of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And it's the theme Jesus spoke about more than anything else. It dominated his ministry. He started teaching on the kingdom. He ended teaching on the kingdom. And he demonstrated the kingdom of God in between. So we're going to be looking at this kingdom. What is this kingdom? Is it different to church? Is it here or is it still to come? In fact, although I've put the title there, On Earth as in Heaven, I wished I'd put something like Now and Not Yet. Because that's really what I'm going to be talking on a little bit about today. So is it here or is it still to come? Is it different to church? Where is it? What should our expectation be? Why is it mentioned well over 100 times in the Gospels, but mentioned very rarely in the rest of the New Testament? So over the next few weeks, not going to try to do it all today, we're going to be looking at some of the answers to these questions. But more importantly, to us, what should my response be to the kingdom of God now? How does it affect me now? So these talks are going to contain some theology. They'll hopefully help us understand our response now and our hope for the future. Context of church, LifeSpring in particular, in the context of the kingdom. But most importantly, its application. What do I need to do about it? Would you agree? That's the focus. Knowledge is good, but it's only good if it's applied. It may make us cleverer, but that's not our aim. In fact, Paul says knowledge just puffs up. Better still, revelation. But how do we respond to this message of the kingdom? So today's going to be something of an introduction. I've had the wonderful privilege of being born into a Christian family. I know my daughter Lisa, when it comes to sharing testimonies, and in the past when she was younger, I remember her thinking, you know, oh, these are amazing testimonies, saved from drugs, saved from bad stuff, saved from this, saved from that. And I've been brought up in a Christian home and I'm still a Christian. I tell you, that's an amazing testimony too. That is an amazing testimony. And I really count it as a privilege to have been brought up as a Christian, in a Christian home. And attended church 3 times on a Sunday for most of my life. So we've gone backwards a little bit at the moment. But although I attended it so regularly, and even midweek sometimes too, there were at least 2 really important subjects I hardly ever heard preached on or mentioned. One was the Holy Spirit, and the other was the kingdom of God. And in fact, both are linked, as we'll see over the weeks to come. The Holy Spirit, well, he just never got a mention. And when there's no mention, well, there's no expectation, there's no power, there's no anointing, there's no life. Actually, there's no kingdom of God in that sense. And the kingdom of God, well, I even asked my dad about it on one or two occasions, but, well, it was relegated to a specific message for the Jews during the tribulation, which unfortunately, evidently, they go through and we don't, but I'll question that later, or simply put off into the future. Well, when Jesus comes back, which means that the bulk of Jesus' teaching has no real relevance to us today. We've ignored the central teaching of Jesus, and of course with regard to the Holy Spirit, the power to live the life of the kingdom of God. And what a shame, because these two subjects, and for me together with the church, are the ones which give me so much hope, so much excitement, not just for the future, but for now. And yet, even today, these subjects are still ignored and misunderstood by large sections of the church. Then in my teens, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wow, everything changed. And as a church, many of us, before I joined them, but after this experience, I went to these Bible weeks too, which they used to go to, and I heard about the kingdom of God. And they were saying it wasn't like some far-off, irrelevant theology, but it was for now. And I began to hear that God is king. There was a little slogan, Jesus rules, okay. We were singing, Our God reigns. And we were excited that he reigns over the nations now. He's king not just in a millennia, king now. I'd been taught we just hold the fort until Jesus comes. And the church will get less and less. But just before terrible things happen, Jesus is going to come and take this little remnant out, and bad stuff happens to everybody else. And then when all the bad stuff's over, evidently, we come back again. And that was the kingdom of God. But I was hearing something so different, something so exciting, that actually it affected my whole outlook on life. And I'm not sure about, sorry, I don't want to tread on people's toes too much, but I will do on this one. I'm just not sure about the secret rapture stuff and all of those sort of teachings. It doesn't seem clear to me from Scripture. But what does seem clear to me is there is a church which is going to be glorious. There's a kingdom which is going to be powerful, and it's going to fill the whole earth as surely as the waters cover the sea. That's exciting stuff. That's exciting. That's what it's worth living for. A totally different perspective. One of hope, one of glory, one to lay down your life for. Amen. So what is this kingdom that your pastor got excited about and still is pretty excited about? Well, I've alluded to some aspects, but when Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what did he have in mind? Maybe one of the easiest definitions to understand what the kingdom of God is to describe the kingdom of God simply as the will of God. So simple. But where God's will is being done, his kingdom is being manifest. Surely, you say, there must be more to that. Yes, well, of course there's more to it. But when we say, as Jesus said to his Father, not my will, but yours be done, we're actually praying, come, kingdom of God. Come, will of God. When that phrase comes from the heart, we are seeking first the kingdom of God, the will of God in our lives. But the phrase gives us another clue, as in heaven. Your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So is his will sickness or poverty or hunger or addiction or abuse? Of course not. They are all characteristics of the kingdom of darkness, not of the kingdom of light. His will is health, blessing, provision, freedom. I love that little song we sing. It's righteousness or goodness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that's the kingdom of God. And you say, but Neville, how can you be so sure about that? Because heaven isn't full of sickness. Heaven isn't full of poverty. Heaven isn't full of disease. Heaven, where God reigns, is a good place to be because the attributes of King Jesus are manifest across heaven. And Jesus says, pray heaven onto earth. Your will, your kingdom come here. Let that expression be happening here as it is already happening in heaven. Now, hopefully that has sown some questions in your mind, which I hope before the end of the talk we will answer. Heaven on earth, Jesus says, is what we need to be praying for. We could express it differently. What is the kingdom of God? The will of God, or the government, rule, or reign of God. We must get out of our thinking anything natural in the sense of land or place. That's not what Jesus had in mind. The Old Testament expectation is about Israel. For them, God's rule was expected to be physical, routing the enemies, delivering Israel, of bringing peace and blessing on the land. And even Jesus' own disciples thought that as well. But Jesus' teaching on the kingdom of God shifts the emphasis. He's not describing a realm or a territory, but he's describing a spiritual dimension. It may affect the natural, but it's a spiritual kingdom where the government, rule, or reign of God is manifest. It's where his will is being done. It's where his government is being expressed. The kingdom's about authority. It's about a king. And by the way, that's another challenge to our democratic mindset. We think democracy is the best form of government. And maybe it is in a fallen world. But heaven's not a democracy. Heaven's a theocracy. God reigns. He doesn't discuss with his subjects. He's not persuaded by a majority vote. God declares. God announces. What he says goes. He's king. And we're his subjects. So our only reasonable response is, yes, sir. Your majesty. Whatever you say, you're king. But the world are teaching me this. The culture of our age is saying this. But what does the king say? Bishop Uriel was before his invited to some of his MPs, and he'd been speaking against the same-sex marriage bill which was being proposed in the Philippines. And as he was expressing from Christian perspective to the MPs, one of the MPs said to him, but Bishop, you know, some of us here don't believe the Bible, don't believe in God. You know, so what's your opinion about that? He said, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. God's king. And this is what God has said. And this is what we need to live by. And do you know what? The chairman of that committee decided not to push this bill forward. If I'm responsible for going against this king, I'm going to hold back from this. And the whole bill didn't go forward, at least at that time. Isn't that amazing? You see, but he's king. He's king. and that affects us here on earth too. But there's more about that another time. There's a whole Sunday on that. But because he's king, we can pray for the sick. Sickness, a manifestation of the kingdom of darkness. Health and healing is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. And because he's king, we know he has power to heal. Yeah? Power to replace sickness with health. When the kingdom is released, depression goes and joy comes. When the kingdom is released, addictions are broken. Some of us struggle from nicotine. Kingdom come. Kingdom come. Alcohol. Kingdom come. Break that hold. There's power in the name of Jesus because he's king. Poverty is replaced with abundance. Anxiety is replaced with peace. It's a beautiful kingdom. And that's why I believe miracles are important. They demonstrate the kingdom is breaking in. And that's why we need to expect more deliverances. Jesus says, whenever you see demons cast out, know that my kingdom has come. It's the sign. A sign of heaven coming to earth. So the kingdom of God, the rule or the reign or the government of God. Let's just have a look at a couple of Old Testament passages. Well-known Christmas passage, but obviously not just for Christmas. From Isaiah 9, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government, do you hear that? The government will rest on his shoulders. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule. This isn't the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is it? He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Wow, what a wonderful Christmas message, but what a wonderful summer message too. The government or kingdom will rest on Messiah's shoulders. And of the increase of this kingdom and peace, there'll be no end. Forever and ever and ever. What an incredible promise. Never to stop increasing. And let's have a look at another passage from Daniel. Needs a little bit of explanation first of all. So King Nebuchadnezzar was having a dream, had a dream. And in this dream he saw a massive statue. And this statue was made up of all sorts of different metals, a gold head, I can't remember the detail now, but maybe silver chest and bronze waist and all the way down to the feet. And he was perplexed by this dream and he didn't tell Daniel what the dream was. He said, Daniel, if you're an interpreter, you tell me what the dream was and then you interpret for me. And so this is what Daniel replies to the king. He says, while you were watching, a rock was cut out, not by human hands. It struck the statue of its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel says, this is the interpretation. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. There are many other Old Testament passages which talk about this incredible day, this incredible moment, this incredible hope which the Jewish people would have held on to. A Messiah would come, a child would be born, who would completely rout their enemies, set Israel free, and bring, my words, heaven to earth, the day of the Lord. Their expectation, though, and maybe some of ours, needs reappraising in the light of Jesus' teaching. But what a day. So for the Jews, Jesus is a big problem. He cannot possibly be the Messiah, because when the kingdom comes, there won't be any sickness. But I still see lepers. I still see the sick people around here. There's still war. There's still poverty. There's famine and disease. And in their day, Roman oppression. But when Messiah comes, so the Old Testament teaching was understood to say, he's going to usher in a new day, a new age of shalom, of peace, of wholeness. But that's not what I'm seeing, Jesus. Yeah? Can you understand their problem? And so how do we reconcile such biblical hope and expectation when Jesus says, the kingdom of God, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. When Jesus says to his disciples, go to the lost sheep of Israel, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. When Jesus says, but if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. How do we reconcile the Old Testament expectation and Jesus' declarations, the kingdom has come? And this is the tension which I want to close with today. The expectation, even the promise of heaven on earth. And yet, though Jesus declared it was here, there is still sickness. Bad things still happen. It's certainly not what it was supposed to be. And we cannot ignore the promises of God. We can't put off everything to the future either, because Jesus says it's already come. So this is how I want us to help to understand where we are. I'm going to attempt this explanation. We must understand, or the Bible understands, there are two ages. We're living in one of those ages, this present evil age, the Apostle Paul describes it as. It's ruled by the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. This is the age which we're living in, where there's a measure of rule, and where those which haven't given their lives to King Jesus are under the power and authority of the devil. He's power over us until we repent and follow him. They blind our eyes to the truth. It's not a pretty picture. But the good news is this age doesn't go on forever. Jesus is coming back. You know, these scientists, and I don't know what they're going to say at Steve's thing on Thursday, but some of these scientists, they're getting so worried about there's not enough, going to be enough food, the sun's going to burn out, there's all sorts of different biological and sort of scientific reasons why, you know, this is all going to, we've got to find places on Mars somewhere because there's not going to be enough place on Earth. Jesus is going to bring this place to an end. One day, he's going to bring closure to this present evil age. And then he's going to usher in the age to come, the kingdom of God. And this is our hope. Heaven on earth, no more pain, no more suffering, no more disease or war. The kingdom in all its fullness will be ushered in when he comes. Paul says, our sufferings in this age will seem like nothing compared to the glory that awaits us in the age to come, the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But another significant event, in fact two, happen. Jesus has come. And as we saw, he declared the kingdom of God has come too. It's at hand. It's within us. So repent, he says. Change your thinking. And hopes were rising For the Jews, Messiah's here. He's going to usher in this age to come, the day of the Lord, the kingdom of God. John the Baptist in prison, he was confused. I think he was expecting it too, and he wasn't the only one. I thought you were the Messiah, he said, the deliverer of Israel. But I'm in prison, and, well, that shouldn't be happening in the first place. But are you really the one? What did Jesus say? Tell them, go back to John and tell them what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. The good news is being preached to the poor. What was Jesus saying? Yes, Messiah has come. The kingdom is being preached. These are the signs. He was bringing heaven to earth. The kingdom of God was breaking in to this kingdom of darkness. Church, that's our challenge today. John the Baptist wasn't expecting it to look like that. And sometimes we have our own perceptions and then we miss really what God's doing. Don't be offended if it doesn't look like what you think it should. And then they killed him. The king was dead. All part of God's plan, of course. His upside down kingdom. But when Jesus declared the kingdom of God had come, he was declaring war on Satan. Until then, Satan's kingdom had been unchallenged. But now someone greater, someone more powerful, someone filled with the power of the kingdom of heaven had arrived. And in Satan's mind, he needed to be got rid of. Tried to kill him when he was a baby. Tried to tempt him before he started his ministry so that he'd lose his power. Then lastly, Calvary. Sweet victory, he thought. But how wrong. For the enemy, it was the final nail in the coffin. Yes, there was a fight. There was conflict. And maybe Jesus' biggest battle was won at Gethsemane. If there's another way. If there's another way, Father. Nevertheless, if the cross is the only way, not my will, but yours be done. What did I say the kingdom of God was? The will of God. If there's no other way, your kingdom come. In weakness and in death, the battle was won. But sin, sickness, death, and the devil were all defeated. And this is the age we're living in. I'm calling it the clash of the kingdoms. This is the age. The evil age has not come to an end. The kingdom of God in all its fullness has not come yet. We're tasting of the powers of the age to come. Every time we see sickness replaced with healing, it's a sign, more of the kingdom. Every time we see a demon cast out, it's a sign, more of the kingdom of God. But there's a fight. Sometimes we pray for the sick and they don't get healed. And we wonder why they don't get healed. And I'm putting to you because we're in this phase of the clash of the kingdoms. We're still in this present evil age. And the powers of the kingdom of God are breaking in through the people of God. There's a battle. We need to battle. We need to fight. We need to win to see more happening. Until that time when Jesus comes back and brings this age to an end. And establishes completely the kingdom in all its fullness. Does that make sense to you? So we're in a fight. Two kingdoms vying for territory. I used to explain it this way. It's like maybe D-Day has arrived. Maybe the cross was D-Day. You know, that victory, that final, that most important battle was won. The devil was defeated. Satan was crushed at Calvary. And now we're in that mopping up stage until VE Day, when actually the whole mopping up's complete. Jesus comes, reigns as king, and establishes his kingdom forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of God. It's not just out there in the future. It's breaking in now. So Jesus says, you pray. You pray for yourself. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Every soul saved, a sign of the kingdom. Every sickness healed, a sign of the kingdom. Every demon cast out, a sign of the kingdom. One day, total victory. But at this stage, we keep going. We keep battling. We believe for more. We have to hold this tension in place. There's a battle to win. But the kingdom is coming in all of its fullness. So, church, let's pray. Let's believe. Let's usher in more of the future to this present until that day when he comes back and the kingdom will be established in all its fullness, heaven on earth. At the end of our series, I'm going to talk about that. I don't think we've ever talked about it before. But that day is coming. Every enemy completely routed. Jesus, King over all, and all the nations, bowing their knee and worshipping him. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.